Welcome to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Hawks Football Show on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and shoresportsnetwork.com. Each week during the season, Coach Callahan and Matt Harmon will talk Hawks football with a look back to the past Saturday's game and a glance ahead to what's coming up. The show is broadcast live from Jack's Goal Line Stand in West End, and you're invited to be part of the action. Now, let's get the latest on the Monmouth Hawks from Matt and Coach Cal.
And we welcome you in here in the West End as we are set for the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show. Phil, just a word back in the studio. If you can turn us off, we are having an echo back in our headset. If you could knock that out, would be much appreciated. As we get set here for a Tuesday night show in Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End, Matt Harmon along with the head coach of the Hawks, Kevin Callahan, a big show on tap as usual for tonight. Rich Lorfing, senior defensive lineman, will give us a few minutes, as will Lamar Davenport, the junior wide receiver from Asbury Park. Monmouth coming off a big win, their third in a row this past Saturday, 27-14 over Sacred Heart. And as we like to each and every week, start off the first segment of the program, talking about last week's contest. And, Coach, as we say, good evening here. A big win, obviously, for Monmouth and for the Hawks, 27-14 over Sacred Heart. Now 3-1 overall, probably just as important, if not more important, 2-0 in conference play. And I thought, just like last week against Wagner, you know, a pretty decent first half of football. When you got up on the board early, we're up 14-0. At that point, rolling pretty good. So take us through the first quarter, a little bit plus after Eric Sumlin scored that second touchdown of the day to put it 14-0.
Well, as we got to 14-0, I thought we were in very good shape in the game, and it's exactly what we wanted to do, and start fast. And, you know, for the second consecutive week, we came out, we got points on the board, we go up by two scores. You know, from that point on, Sacred Heart was able to get themselves back in it. They brought the score to 14-7. And then, as you know, there was an extremely strange play immediately before the half, and the last play of the half that tied the score at 14. And it was one of those plays where they threw the ball up into the end zone, and our safety, Pat Gray, intercepted the ball. But as he came down in the end zone, they ruled that there was not an incomplete pass, but yet that the receiver stripped him of the ball, fell on it in the end zone, and they were awarded a touchdown for that play. I really had never seen a play like that before. I thought it could have been, at worst, an incomplete pass, but in any event, it tied the score at 14, which set the stage for, you know, the halftime in the locker room. And to the credit of the guys on our team, there wasn't any panic. There was a sense of calm in the locker room. Everybody knew that, you know, we had control of the game and that we just needed to go out in the third quarter and reestablish that control. And I think that's exactly what we did.
I thought a couple of things about this. Now, the final score, you know, a fairly comfortable 27-14 win for Monmouth. But it was our commentary during the course of the game, maybe a couple points left on the board. And I thought the second half, there were times at least where the play was sloppier than I would imagine the coaches and the players would have anticipated. And maybe the game became a little bit harder than it even needed to.
Well, I think we made it harder than it should have been. And that's one of the things that we talked about as a coaching staff at halftime, that, you know, we were making that game up much harder than it should be. You know, I think if you look back to the first possession of our offense in that game, we had two penalties before we snapped the ball once and before we ran a play. And I think that was kind of indicative of the day where we played in spurts. We weren't as sharp from start to finish as we had been in either of the previous weeks. And that's certainly something moving forward that we need to correct and we have to do a much better job of.
You know, a couple of things. We made, again, the remark during the post game, really, and Eddie was the one who brought it up, and I thought it was a great point. He said this was a game that Monmouth won despite not playing maybe their best football, where in years past maybe that game gets swung around. And actually, I was reminded of the last time Sacred Heart came to West Long Branch and won kind of a weird game towards the end of it. Mm-hmm. I thought this game had the same kind of feel. You know, at times you almost wondered, could Sacred Heart get it to a one-score game? They were never able to do that. And, you know, enough. Monmouth did just enough to kind of keep Sacred Heart in that two-score range.
Well, we did. And, you know, you're exactly right. Back the last time that they were here in 2010, they ended up pulling out a game 26-25. It was a game that we were ahead until the very end. They made it a one-score game and were able to capitalize and score a touchdown in inside of 2 minutes. And, you know, we certainly didn't want this game to go that direction. And I think, you know, we did enough in the second half on both sides of the ball. We're able to get stops when we needed them, get the ball back for the offense, and, you know, had a chance to go down and get that field goal at the end as well. And you know, as I said, it's a credit to our guys. To sometimes when you get involved in a game like that, it's very difficult to turn tables and to reverse that tide. But I thought we did a very good job of that Saturday.
Things on the good side, one offensively and one defensively. First offensively, the passing game, unlike maybe the week prior where the numbers were still decent, this was a different day where the offense really needed to be carried by the passing game. Kyle Frazier awarded his second NEC Player of the Week on the offensive side of the ball. His numbers off the charts, 32 of 43, threw for 313 yards, a couple of touchdowns. And again, just to me, at least, just continues to look so much more comfortable week in and week out.
Kyle was very, you know, very good on the day. He was not only efficient, he was, you know, very accurate. He completed 75% of his passes. He was able to make big plays in the pass game. He was also able to make big plays with his feet. And it was a day where we needed that. We knew that Sacred Heart was going to give us a lot of different looks with their defense. They were committing nine and defenders to the run. They were blitzing an awful lot, giving us different blitzes each series, and we knew that they were going to be somewhat disruptive in our run game. But when they do that, they also put their receiver or their defenders, their defensive backs, in one-on-one situations, and we felt that our receivers would be able to take advantage of that. And I think what you saw was some very big plays in the pass game.
Is it a case, and if you look at the numbers, it kind of tells the story, 34 rushes for 71 yards, where on the flip side, you throw for over 300. Is it a day that offensively, again, and similar to the week before, you know, there was a little bit more success running the ball against Wagner numbers-wise than there was throwing the football, because the offense is so diverse and has different weapons both in the running game and the passing game. If a team is going to commit 8-9 guys in the box and leave their corners outside man-on-man with like a single high safety, which we saw from Sacred Heart a lot during this one, it's almost like, okay, now we can just pick them apart throwing the ball.
Well, the benefit of having so many weapons on our offense and so many effective ways to move the ball is that whatever a defense decides they want to attempt to take away, we have other areas that we can go to. You know, in the Wagner game, we were able to run the ball extremely well behind our running backs, you know, KB Asante, you know, Peter Nagy, and Julian Hayes. This last week in Sacred Heart, there seemed to be that extra safety that always was getting himself down into the box, and it was a day where we needed to get the ball out onto the perimeter and let our receivers make plays.
On the plus side defensively, I thought, you know, the defense to me has been so impressive, and maybe not a surprise to you guys as coaches, but has come together maybe a little bit quicker than most would have anticipated. Another day where they first forced turnovers, three interceptions on the day, another day where they get into the backfield of the opposition, three sacks on Tim Little, the quarterback for Sacred Heart. So both of those things, I would have to say, if you're sacking the quarterback and you're getting turnovers, it's like a win-win.
Well, you know, the turnover is an area where we have done extremely well in each of our first four games. We're turning ball over, turning our opponents over on an average of three times per game through our first four. And that's, you know, that's what our goal is each week, is to commit three turnovers. And, you know, I've got to commend our guys. We're doing it, you know, with interceptions. We're doing it with fumbles. And, you know, we're really, you know, doing a good job of creating positive field position for our offense. You know, secondly, as you mentioned, you know, I think we're playing in the opponent's backfield, not only getting upfield against a quarterback, but our run defense is doing extremely well. And you really got to give credit to our defensive line for recreating the line of scrimmage and playing on the other side, on the opponent's side. But the area that I'm really excited about is what we're doing on third down. That's something that was a point of emphasis with us in the spring. And again, in preseason camp, we had what we called a win period, where we created different third down scenarios, offense against defense, and we did it just about every day at the end of practice, and it was kind of a best out of five deal. And the guys really got excited about that. And right now, we're effective defensively at about 87% of the time on third down. Saturday, Sacred Heart converted one third down, and that was late in the game. I think it was on their last drive of the game before they made a third down conversion. So, you know, that's a great stat. As long as we are confident that we can get off the field on third down, and you know, we're going to do very well. And I think it's a combination of the guys up front putting pressure on the quarterback, good coverage, and a lot of people running to the ball.
1 of 12 the other day on Saturday was Sacred Heart in that game. And for the season, Monmouth defensively, 6 of 46 yielding 13% on third down conversions for the opposition. Now, just like any other game, looking for a couple negatives to pull out of it. Penalties were a bit of a problem for you guys on Saturday. 8 penalties for close to 100 yards. You know, as the season wears on, and we haven't yet talked about Albany, but that's obviously the next game on the schedule and a very important one in terms of the overall conference structure. 100 yards in penalties isn't going to win you a lot of football games down the road.
No, it's not. And that's something that, you know, we weren't happy about. We had penalties on both sides of the ball. We had holdings on defense, pass interference. We had false starts, illegal formations on offense. We had penalties on special teams. And that's a phase where penalties really kill you and can sometimes have a distinct change in field position. So, you know, we have to clean that up. And I think there were times in the game where we were a little sloppy on both sides of the ball. And I think the penalties are indicative of sloppy play sometimes, where you're not, you reach out, you grab somebody, you're being not quite as sharp as you always, as you normally are. And, you know, fortunately last Saturday, it didn't hurt us, but as we get into a game against higher level opponents, that's something that could affect us greatly.
Monmouth now 3-1 on the season, 2-0 in conference play. We just touched on Albany. That is the next opponent on the schedule. It comes up this Saturday, the 29th of September, to wind down the month. A 1 o'clock kickoff up in Albany. We'll have a ton of time, actually, to talk about that game and break it down. Very important in terms of the overall structure of the schedule. So let's go week to week now. You lose week one to Lehigh, wins then against Rhode Island, Wagner, and Sacred Heart. Obviously, much improvement from the loss from Lehigh to Rhode Island. I think a very good, balanced, consistent effort against Wagner as well. So as the goal is to get better week in and week out, was the game against Sacred Heart a game that the team got better or stayed the same from the weeks prior?
No, I would say that we got better, that we improved. We didn't maybe take as big a step or make as big a jump as we had in maybe one of the previous weeks. But I thought, particularly in the area of special teams, we did a much better job with our kickoff coverage. We did a better job with our punt block unit, although we didn't really get block a punt. But you know, I thought we did a better job in execution overall. We were able to fake a punt that really resulted in a big change of field position and gained positive yards and momentum for our offense. So I think we are moving forward. I would have liked to seen us take a bigger step, but, you know, what head coach have you talked to wouldn't. I mean, and I think, again, this week, going up against Albany, we're going to have to take yet another step and improve, you know, significantly going into this game.
You have talked about, as have the players that we've had on the show up until this point, the different attitude that this team has in terms of the last couple of years. And I thought one of the things that was extremely impressive, and even the couple of days I've seen some of the players bouncing around campus on Monday and even today, the reaction that I have gotten from them is, yeah, that's great, we're 3-1, we're 2-0 in the conference, but it doesn't really mean anything. Our season really hasn't gotten started yet, up until the point where we know the ultimate goal is to win the conference championship and get the playoffs. And they were unhappy with winning the game on Saturday, where maybe in years past you're happy just to get a win. Even with the win, the team's not satisfied.
Well, there's no doubt. You could sense that on the sideline after the game, after we went over and, you know, had the congratulatory handshake and came, and traditionally we sing the fight song, you know, for our fans with the pep band. You know, we just didn't have quite the bounce in singing the fight song that we normally do. And then even later on, when we got back into the locker room, you know, we were happy. We won. But we know that, you know, we've set a fairly high standard for ourselves, this team has. And, you know, we felt in some areas maybe we didn't live up to that standard on Saturday. We were happy we won the game. We were excited about being 3-1, 2-0 in conference play. But as I said, we hold ourselves to a higher standard than that, and we need to live up to that standard every week. And I think that was in the back of everybody's mind. They said, okay, great, we won. All right, we got to do a better job next time out.
Do you play into that as a head coach? I mean, if you're sensing that your players feel that, do you kind of feed into that a little bit more? Do you have to almost, in a way, pull them back from that and say, hey, guys, we did win. We are 3-1, even though we didn't play great. A win is a win at this point of the season. Now we can just get better this week in practice. Because I think the last thing you want to do as a coaching staff is to let your players beat themselves up too much.
No, and that's certainly something that you know I have to be aware of as a head coach, as do all of our coaches. But, you know, I was happy that there was just a little bit of, hey, we can be better than we were today. You know, there was a little bit of that attitude going on, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think, you know, you'd be crazy not to think that every player on our team knows what's coming up this week. And they know the quality of the team that we're going to play in Albany, and you and I will talk about that later on in the show. And they knew that we have to be better than where we were against Sacred Heart to beat a team like Albany. And so for them to realize that in the immediate aftermath of the game, I felt was a positive sign.
Monmouth, the winner on Saturday against Sacred Heart, 27-14. Albany on the schedule this coming weekend at University Field up in upstate New York. We'll take our first time out. When we come back, Rich Lorfing will join us, senior defensive lineman. We'll talk on that side of the football and how good the defense has been. We'll get an inside view from one of the guys in the rotation up front. We'll step out for just a brief timeout. We're at Jack's goal line stand in the West End here on the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show. You're listening live on the Shore Sports Network.
Hey, man, here, have a Coke Zero. I don't watch the game without it.
Okay.
With Coke Zero, I can have real Coke taste and zero calories. If they can do that, then what else is possible?
How about a quarterback who throws touchdown passes
and then catches them himself in the end zone?
He throws it deep. Wait, he catches his own pass. Touchdown. Weird.
Like cheerleaders who cheer
and deliver sandwiches.
Someone wanted sandwiches.
I love your sandwiches.
Coke Zero, real Coke taste and zero calories. Enjoy everything.
Hey, Monmouth University. Sonic Drive-In is now open just minutes away from campus in Tinton Falls. Sonic burgers, breakfast burritos, tots, onion rings, real ice cream, hot dogs, and thousands of drink flavors are only 15 minutes away. All drinks and slushes are half price every day from 2 to 4 p.m. Bring your ticket stub from today's game to the Tinton Falls Sonic. Buy one burger and you'll get one for free. Open until midnight. The Tinton Falls Sonic is located right off Route 35 in the A&P Shopping Center. The Asbury Park Press brings the Monmouth and Ocean County sports scene to life. Only the Asbury Park Press covers local teams, players, and schools like the Monmouth Hawks, both on and off the field. For all things Jersey Shore, subscribe to the press. To subscribe to the Asbury Park Press, give them a call at 1-800-822-9779 or visit app.com/subscribe. The Asbury Park Press, your news any way you want it, wherever you are. The Monmouth Hawks are leaders on the field, just as Barnabas Health is New Jersey's healthcare leader. Barnabas Health has New Jersey covered with great facilities all over the state, including Monmouth Medical Center and Children's Hospital in Long Branch, Kimball Medical Center in Lakewood, and the Behavioral Health Center and Community Medical Center in Toms River. Premier Healthcare is one call or click away at 1-888-724-7123 or barnabashealth.org. Barnabas Health, every day extraordinary. You're listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Hawks Football Show on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and at shoresportsnetwork.com.
We are back here from Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End. Another edition of the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network, 1160, 1310 a.m., shoresportsnetwork.com. Happy to have this guy for a couple of minutes here. Talk some defense as the defense continuing to play very good football on that side of the ball. It's Rich Lorfing, the senior defensive lineman, who gives us a few minutes. Rich, good to see you. How's everything? Put that mic down a little bit. There you go. How's that? Better?
Yeah, a little better.
All right, good. You know, Coach and I were just talking, not sure if you were listening in. Defensively, you guys right now seem to be pretty locked in. And, you know, we won't necessarily talk about last week's game. I mean just for the season. And it was a unit that maybe a lot of people had questions about going into the year because of last year's performance, which was a little spotty at times. But right now, it seems like everyone's on the same page and everything really working pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, we had a lot of guys last year who came back. You know, we graduated from Jose, obviously, which is a big loss, but the guys that are playing for him are feeling well. And we had a lot of guys last year that played. Obviously, experience is showing this year because as a unit, I think we're playing very well.
Now, let's talk about you a little bit more specifically. You've had kind of an interesting career. You know, you come in after a very good high school career at Monroe High School. You don't play as a freshman, which a lot of defensive linemen don't. You know, you kind of build, get a little bit stronger, get a little bit bigger. See sometimes a sophomore, and then last year you missed the whole year with a back injury. Talk about first what it was like after getting time and getting yourself on the field as a sophomore to have to sit out all of last year.
Well, I mean, it was real rough because I was getting ready to play what I thought was going to be a lot that year. And I felt like I was getting in real good shape and, you know, best shape I've been in at that point. And then just one day, you know, just had the crazy back pains. I had no idea where it even came from. And ended up getting it checked out, and they were like, you need surgery. There's no way about it. Like, can't play with it, can't do anything. And the only thing you can do is have surgery and maybe play again after that. So it was kind of rough, and I was real down about it at the time. But now I'm all right because, you know, it feels better than ever. So,
is there ever a thought with a back injury, a serious one? I mean, when you have back surgery, that's a big deal. It's not like, hey, you know, put a Band-Aid on something. Right, they're going in, they're doing something on your back. Is there ever a thought in your head that I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to play football anymore?
At first, yeah, because even my doctor was like, you know, if it doesn't heal right, you got to give up football. I know you love it. I know you've been doing this for a little, but your health is more important. I agree with him, even though I didn't want to. But after that first couple of hits that I took in spring ball a couple of years ago, after the back surgery, I haven't thought about it since then.
Coach, how important is it for, you know, a guy like Rich, who, as he said, he's been playing since he's a kid, gets the news that he's going to miss all of last year, has back surgery, and then as a coach and as a coaching staff, I mean, do you put kid gloves on with him a little bit and kind of work him back slower or take it easy on him in practice as he's kind of getting back into the swing of things?
Well, no, not really. I think that, you know, the rehab that Rich went through.
He's laughing about that, by the way. He knows that things were not any easier for him at all.
Yeah, the rehab that he went through after the surgery was a grueling one. It was one that took a number of months. And I think that once he was cleared to get back out on the field and play, you know, he's 100%. And at that point, he just got to jump in and go play. And we're not going to coach him any different or expect any less of him than we would if he hadn't had surgery. And to Rich's credit, you know, he really went to work. He knew he needed to change his body a little bit and you know, redefine his body, lose a little bit of weight, reapportion some of that weight and put it in other places to take stress off the back. But also, and I think in doing that, it made him a better football player.
Rich, talk about the transition now for you, getting back into it and getting yourself right back into the rotation. You know, the way that the college game is, and even the professional game, there's defensive linemen coming in and out all the time. So even though start, don't start, I mean, to me, that's not a big deal because you're going to get your plays and you're going to get your time in the field as long as you're in that two-deep rotation. The unit as a whole.
Outside of football, you know, for the most part, we all live together, train together in the all-time and off-season. And I think it shows because, like, you know, like, for example, me and Upton in the game, yeah, we can do stuff without even saying it. Like, you know, if we have some sort of stun or whatever, we don't have to say it to each other. We don't have to talk about it. We just do it. We've done it so many times together.
That's always a positive when there's that unspoken communication that exists between players within a position or players within a offense or defensive unit. And I think that, you know, you hit the nail right on the head with each other. You know, there's 8 to 9 of them that play every single game. They know they're on a rotation, that anyone can spell anybody else. And, you know, they all know that they're going to have opportunities to go out on the field and make plays. And I think because of that, they have a great relationship with each other. There's a very positive chemistry that exists between this group.
Rich, talk about why the defense has been so successful this year. I mean, we know that things are kind of working and there's been guys that have had some big plays and turnovers have been a big part. But last year, as you kind of sat and watched things maybe not go the way that they did, what is the difference this year as opposed to the last couple?
You know, I mean, it's kind of hard to tell as the game's going on. I mean, we feel like we're dominating them most of the time as the game's going on. Then we sit back and watch the film. The last, like, three, I would even say the second half of Lehigh, so the last 4.5 games, we've been changing the line of scrimmage up front, which leads to everything else falling into place because we change the line of scrimmage up front. You know, all linebackers having good games after that because it's easier for them. And then getting into those third and long situations, and that's giving our DBs a chance to make plays on balls because there's a lot more third and long situations than it was. It seems like it compared to last year.
It seems like this year more so than the last couple. And I know personnel dictates so much, and we're talking with Rich Lorfing, senior defensive lineman here for Monmouth on the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show. This year so far through the first 4 games, even in a loss against Lehigh, this defense is more attacking and more blitz-orientated. Does that make it more fun for you guys to play on that side of the ball?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. No, Bo takes the reins off, and it's time to go. Get upfield. You know, get the linebackers coming, DBs coming, whoever's coming on that play. Just get upfield and get after it.
We have been more aggressive in some of our calls and a certain blitz packages that we put in back in the spring, and we've been able to use those you know, I think very effectively this fall. It's not something that we do 100% of the time, but we do it enough. And as Rich said, when we can change the line of scrimmage with our defensive line, I think it makes it easier for our linebackers to operate. You notice guys like, you know, Bill Louch and Dan Sullivan and Colin Cooper, and those guys, you know, are really flying around and getting to the ball. And the other thing it leads to is turnovers. We've been putting great pressure on the quarterback. We sacked the quarterback 9 times in the last 2 games. But even the times that we haven't sacked them, we've knocked them down a number of times. And there's, you know, you can't put a statistic on how many throws are hurried or how many throws go into our hands because of the pressure that the defensive line is putting on.
Rich, tell me what kind of player you define yourself as a defensive lineman. You know, there's some guys who are pass rush specialists. There's other guys who are run stoppers. What is Rich Lorfring as a defensive lineman?
You know, I mean, they always told me one thing I always had to work on was my pass rush moves, and I agree with that because, you know, I'm not the fastest guy. I'm definitely not the biggest. But I don't know. I like to think of myself that, you know, I get everything I got in every play. And I think I'm a pretty good run stuffer for the most part. And I think I like to make myself think that because of, like, hard work, like Coach Cal said, you know, redefining my body and all that stuff, that, you know, everything I do is based on hard work. And I like to make myself that kind of player.
You know, we had Mike Hunchak, the center, on last week on the show. And you know, as an offensive lineman, you don't get a ton of credit. You're usually just pointed out when a mistake is made. The defensive line, not the same, but similar. You know, is there ever any thought of, boy, we're doing all the work, and these guys behind us, the linebackers, are getting the sacks, or they're getting the tackles, they're getting their name called over the speaker, the DBs are getting the interceptions, and here we are doing all the hard work. Is there ever any thought of turning around and saying, hey, this isn't happening if we're not doing our job up front?
Yeah, no, you can think about it once in a while, but right now we're 3-1, and our defense is gelling. Like, I think we're really playing good football right now, so I don't think of it like anything personal like that. As long as the defense is playing as well as they are, then all the other stuff doesn't really matter to me.
Two more questions for you. One is just a personal question. You're watching the game on Saturday, and I don't remember if you were in for this play or you were on the sideline. The last play of the half, kind of that strange, crazy play where Pat Gray intercepts it, and all of a sudden it turns out to be a Sacred Heart touchdown. What's the coach kind of talked about it in the locker room? But what's the immediate expression from you guys on the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, I was in on that.
No cursing either.
We might not be able to say that here.
I can't really say what I thought, but for the most part, I was in, and I didn't realize what happened right away because I got a field, and then I just saw Pat Pickett, and I started, like, I kind of put my head down for a second. And the next thing I know, the referee signaling touchdown. And I just was like, what happened? And then someone told me when we were jogging back to locker room what happened. And I couldn't really believe it. But, you know, it's in the past now. But at the time, I was like, wow, I really just can't believe what happened.
Now, one question about this week before we let you go. Albany, very good football team, picked at the top of the preseason poll, which at this point of the season mean nothing, but they've lived up to expectations so far. They are also 3-1. They're also undefeated in the conference. They've played some very good football teams. Tell me what you've seen about Albany on film and what you guys have to do well to make sure that you win the football game on Saturday.
You know, watching film today and just, like, looking at all their stuff, they don't really make mistakes as a team. And you can tell that they seem like a very patient offense, if that makes any sense, because they seem like it was grind you, and wait for the defense to make a mistake and then take advantage of right there. Because, you know, you're watching them grind out 3, 4, 5 yards of carry, and they hit one for like 50. And, you know, that's just kind of mistakes we can't make this week because we want to win this game, so. You know, can't make mistakes like that.
So there's got to be a good game plan is what you're trying to tell your coach as you're sitting next to you, right? Put the game plan in the right way. We'll take care of it.
Yeah. If we do the job this week up front like we have been doing it in each of the last 4 weeks, you know, we'll be in good shape. And one of the keys, and we'll talk about this later when we speak to Albany, is that, you know, we've got to be able to be successful on early downs. We have to win first down to get them into some longer yarded situations, which is where they don't want to be.
Rich, appreciate you coming by, giving us a couple minutes. You have an enormous plate of wings waiting for you over there. So go dive into those continued success. It's great to see you back on the field after missing last year. Good luck this week and the rest of the year.
Thank you. Thank you.
Rich Lorfing, the senior defensive lineman here on the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show. We step out and take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll talk some offense. A career day for Lamar Davenport last week, and we'll be able to talk to Lamar about that and a whole lot more right after this quick break. 2-minute pause. You're listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.